What is up, everybody, and welcome back to Zachary Reality. It is Zachary Reality, and we are live today on YouTube, or if you're listening as a podcast, what is up? We're here with Logan from Bachelor Nation, Logan Siegel. You guys might remember him from Rachel and Gabby's season and Paradise. We're going to be shooting the shit today, getting into some Bachelor Nation, talking about this golden divorce and catching up. So welcome back, guys. I hope you're all tuning in and you're all buckled up and ready. Logan, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I feel great. It's good to see you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy you're here. Because like we were saying before, we have known each other for a long time. Your season was a couple years ago, but finally was able to get you on the podcast.
Yeah, feels like a different lifetime, but you know what? I feel very involved still. So it's good. Mm-hmm. It's good to connect.
For sure. And you've done like a bunch of different podcasts and like interviews since the show, right? Like there's not like any crazy tea you're going to give me today that you haven't said before, is there?
I don't think I'm going to let out any like deep dark secrets from Bachelor Nation today. No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest secret with you was whether you had COVID or not when you left.
Yeah. Let's just get that one out of the way, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, I did have COVID. That did happen. Mm-hmm. So there it is. I did have it.
Yeah. So if you didn't have COVID, do you think that you would have gone farther? Would you have ended up with Rachel or Gabby, especially looking at where things are right now? Could it have worked out either way?
Looking at it now in hindsight, probably not. I think it ended at the proper time. I don't think there was any possibility of me pulling that one out looking back. The good news is the girl I was crushing on so hard is very happy with someone who she loves and someone who makes her happy. So worked out well. Yeah.
Are we talking about Gabby or Rachel? Who were you really crushing on?
Oh, I was really crushing on Gabby. Okay. I think Rachel's very happy too. From what I hear, she's doing great. There she is. Yep. She's very happy as well. I'm not sure if she's dating someone, but I know Gabby is. Gabby seems like she's in the happiest relationship. They're both hilarious. So she found happiness, you know, so
for sure.
That's all you can ask for.
No, I was shocked. I was really shocked when Gabby came out and started dating Robbie. Super happy for her. Like, would never judge someone. Are you kidding? Like, that's amazing. We have our first gay bachelorette in a way, even though she wasn't out during the season. It always happens like that.
Yeah. She went postseason on us, but you know what? She's living the life that makes her happy, and no one's against that. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, fair enough. But I hope that we do get a gay bachelor one day with someone who's actually out. So let's put that out there. Okay. Yeah,
definitely could happen.
Let's talk a little bit about Bachelor breaking headlines. Let's get right into this golden divorce. A lot of people were really shocked by this. This was the first golden bachelor, Gary and Teresa. So 70 years old, 73. He proposed to her at the finale. They got married in 3 months and divorced in 3 months. Okay, they got married like 6 months. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? What am I saying?
If they can't make it, how am I supposed to make it? If they can't do it, how are we supposed to do it? I don't know. They were a cute couple. I thought they would be at a country club somewhere playing bingo together, eating Jell-O, doing the old folks stuff, but they couldn't pull it out. I don't know what happened. Really just a beautiful couple. It's really too bad, but it's hard. I mean, hey, you meet this person and you hang out for what seems like a month, but really you only see them a couple hours. I mean, let's be real. It's not like you're with them for a month. Mm-hmm. You're with them for like 10 hours.
Yeah.
It's like, we've all had a person we've met where 10 hours in, you're like, they're the one. And then 4 months later, you're like, wow, was I wrong? Right. So, I mean, we got to give them some grace. It's a tough situation to be in, but I think we were all pulling for them. We definitely were. So
I think it's a little sus. I think that they rushed into getting married because the show wanted to put on this golden TV wedding. I'm sure the numbers were astronomical. Like, did you watch it?
I didn't watch it. Mm-hmm. I feel like my For You pages, it always leaks in there. But I kind of followed in that way. And, I know there was a lot of pressure for it to work out because everyone was like, oh, this is so genuine. This is so much better. Ratings are up. Everyone loves this couple. You're getting married, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So they probably felt a lot of heat to like make it happen, but that kind of, the heat kind of fizzles out after after you're alone in a room and the cameras are off. So, you know.
So I don't know. I think it's kind of sus. Christina agrees. They rushed into this wedding. They said that they were like old. When you know, like they were just so confident that they knew that they were getting married and that because they were older, it was not a rush that it happened 3 months or whatever after the show ended. So right. I think it's just really sus that they're getting divorced so quickly and that they never even moved in together and they never tried to move in together. So the reason what we got is that they didn't want to leave their hometowns. He's in Indiana, Teresa's in New Jersey. They would fly to see each other and post pictures. And then they would get flown to New York or California to do certain bachelor things where they did press appearances. Uh-huh. But from the outside looking in, it just seems like they never actually wanted to move together or live together and make it work. So I just think it's a little sus that they rushed into this wedding.
Let me put it this way though. Have you ever been on vacation and had like a vacation crush, or you're at the airport and there's like someone your age and it's like your airport crush, whatever. That's what it's like. You like are in these amazing places doing incredible experiences that you'll never do again with these striking views. And everyone's watching and anticipating a happy ending. And then you get back home from the vacation and it's like, all right, so what's your actual life like? What's your actual views? What are you like after work? What do you like when you haven't had your coffee? It kind of like real life hits. So I got to give him some grace.
No, I understand that. And that's a great perspective that I wouldn't think of. But I think that if they broke up, that's fine. Like if they're engaged, but the fact that they rushed to do this wedding because of the extra pressure of the show being the first Golden Bachelor. So yeah. They really wanted this big wedding, kind of like how they did with Trista and Ryan. She was the first bachelorette and they're still together. So it all probably just came at them at once, but I don't think that they would have got married if the show didn't push them to do so. So that's why I kind of feel like a little bit of a sham wedding. I'm not going to say the relationship was a sham. I think that they fell in love and wanted to make it work, and I'll, you know, root for that. But I think the wedding was just all for show.
Yeah. Like you think they got like cornered into it a little bit.
Yeah. And I don't know why. Maybe they shouldn't have signed the papers and they should have just got married and not told anyone that it wasn't going to be legal.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Probably a mistake.
So they did have a prenup too. So since you didn't watch right. this, so basically she is still working. So she works like 5 days a week. She has like a busy job and he's retired on his lake house. And the lake house that he's in is the house that he originally had for him and his late wife, his widowed wife. So in her mind, I feel like she didn't want to move there because she already has her life in Jersey and her family's there and her grandkids are there. Mm-hmm. So do we think it's harder to make things work when you're 70 versus 30, like the couples that break up now?
I think if this shows us anything, the divorce, it's that it's not all that different. People like under massive amounts of public pressure make decisions that are a little rash, that are a little out of character. Even if you're 70, even if you're 26, whatever, like people will go through with things that feels maybe like uncertain. And maybe they should have left it at, we're together, talk to you in 2 months. Like that probably would have been a little better off, but
they couldn't fake it. They couldn't like pretend. That's what they said in their interview. They're like, we're not going to pretend that we're still together anymore or at all. Apparently conversations started happening like 3 weeks ago when they were talking about getting divorced. And they also played Family Feud together like the week before. Robin says that Teresa is a compliance manager. Do you know what that is?
I think she's saying that by me making a joke about them playing bingo that like I'm like taking away from her career. I'm sure she's very successful, Robin. I'm sure she's great at her job. Mm-hmm. It's just funny that old people can still fall in love. It's great. I love it. But yeah, I hope that they're at peace, because that's a roller coaster emotionally, whether or not it works out, to go in a year from single to married to divorced is like a thrasher. I wish them the best.
For sure. I would love to know a little bit more about it from them whenever they want to talk about it. It's crazy how they announced it on Good Morning America though, too, right? Like that's kind of like a funny platform to announce it on. But of course, ABC wants that exclusive. It was like the, it's a way to get the message across to everyone. Did you happen to see the interview?
I saw parts of it. Yeah, I did. What do you do? I mean, people were giving him flack for holding hands. It's like, well, if they truly don't have hard feelings, they were trying to show that there's still good sentiment there. But what are you supposed to do? Like, honestly, how are you supposed to go about that situation telling 7 million people, hey, I know we all wanted this to work out, but it didn't. Like, how? What's the proper candor there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good that they're ending on good terms and it's not super messy. And, you know, they have that prenup. So I think that they could, you know, figure it out. And hopefully it's not too much of a burden on them, right? Because that's like stressful going to the court and filing paperwork. She did say that she has to return the ring. She has to return the dress. And she's already been getting paparazzi'd a little bit. So who knows if they'll continue a career in TV in any way.
Yeah, maybe. Does she have her hat in the ring for the Golden
Bachelorette?
Yeah, does she?
Well, that's the question. Like, I don't know who the Golden Bachelorette's going to be, but they can't make it be her after she just got married.
Right, yeah. That would be quite a round circle there. I don't know if that's the right move.
No. So she posted a Instagram this morning and a couple of the ladies commented on it. Leslie was the runner up. She said, I love you. Happy to call you my friend. Defending that she was friends with Teresa. A lot of the ladies like commented stuff that were supportive, but this one comment by April, would love to hear what your take is. She says, I wish you the very best. I truly tried to tell you, but this was your lesson to experience. Much love.
Sheesh.
And Dave comments, now is not the time, April. Yikes.
Love, Dave. Shout out to Dave.
Shout out, Dave.
Love you, Dave. Yeah, that's pretty pointed, huh? She didn't leave any room for the imagination there. She just went straight for the throat.
I mean, yeah. I think that I like that she's straight up. Like, it's not like she's straight up. She's like, listen, like, I was your friend and I was trying to look out for you, but you had to figure it out.
Right. It could have been a DM rather than hey, she was like, hey everybody, I tried to tell her, look, I was so right, I guess is what she was going for. You gotta admire people like that who really wanna, you know, shout from the mountaintops, but probably not my style. I don't think I would have gone with the comment.
Yeah, I think there's like an interesting fine line, like, and you know this from being on the show, that like, you know, you kind of all live your life in the public, at least while the show is on. And when any drama that relates to the show, it's like almost everyone does have a right to kind of comment on it publicly because you're all in the world. Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel like that was a fine line when you were on it?
You know what? I guess the only like I can imagine when me and Eric were still in the mix together and I had just switched to Gabby's side. Mm-hmm. A lot of people wanted to see a tension between me and Eric. Me and Eric are very good friends. Mm-hmm. Me and Spencer are very good friends. I'm friends with Mario. I'm friends with all those guys. And there wasn't a tension. By the time the show aired, we were all hanging out, enjoying each other's company, good friends. But a lot of people would make comments like, Eric, you're going to let so-and-so say this and this. And, you know, some people feed into it. Some contestants will be like, oh, okay, they want to see a squabble. I'll show them. But a lot of the times, by the time it airs, that squabble's already been squashed. And maybe there's not as much tension as you may expect. But it looks like in this case, it's still alive and well.
Yeah, interesting. I just wonder when April says, I tried to tell you. What did she try to tell her? That's what people are really wondering. But time will tell.
Good question. There's like a private conversation somewhere that was not recorded, I guess.
For sure. Cooking in the Casino with Rosemarie says that April is real. And Celeste says April is the next Brooklyn. She's a straight shooter all the way.
Gotta respect it.
For sure. Let's talk a little bit about your journey on the show. Let's get into it. I don't know if we have any more final thoughts on the Golden Bachelor, but
wishing them the best. Hope that everything works out.
Shocking. Just very just shocking. Oh, really real whirlwind for these 70-year-olds. Sure. not good track record for the show, but I think that they could.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'll still try a Golden Bachelorette, and hopefully that will work.
They'll take a swing at it. I think they will.
Okay, because I want to do another season of the Golden Bachelor too. So,
yeah, I think they're probably already hunting for it. If not,
Yeah. So let's talk about Logan on Gabby and Rachel's season. Let's start with how you got casted on the show.
Bunch of handsome guys there. Look at that. Look at Ethan and Matt up front. Beautiful humans. I was actually in contact with producers to be on a different season. It was either, now I'm a little confused which one it was. It was either Claire's or Katie's. And it was just like a couple years before. And I got to like the third, second interview. And they just kind of fell off the map. And of course, my reaction was, I didn't want to do it anyway. Whatever. I was like, of course, my feelings were hurt. I was like, oh, I thought I was going to have a shot. And then they were like, well, not this season. I was nominated by a friend in the first place. But so I interviewed for a previous season. They said, it's not going to work this season. Then they called me back two seasons later for Gabby and Rachel's. And they were like, we think you'd be perfect for this one. What that hint was, whatever that meant, the underlying theme behind that, that was perfect for this one, but not the other one. Who knows? But it's a long process to get on the show. At first, you just think, oh well, that's flattering. That makes me feel good. How fun that I was chosen. It feels good to be chosen, and it makes you feel nice. Mm-hmm. And then it gets to the finish line, and you're like, oh my God, is this actually going to happen? Around like eight interviews in, I was like, oh wow, I think I should talk to my family and my boss about this, because this might be a real thing rather than just something that just kind of flatters me or whatever. So
yeah.
And then 5 months later, 6 months later, I'm doing Paradise and everything's changed. So
yeah, but you were never like a Bachelor fan. You never watched the seasons, right?
Yeah, you got me there. I did watch Hannah Brown season with my sister. Very close with my sister. And she would kind of drag me in. I say drag, of course. I enjoyed it. Every guy who gets dragged to watch the show ends up loving it. It's funny how many boyfriends actually come up to me because they're like, hey dude, I would never do this, but my girlfriend makes me watch the show. So, and then you're like, can we get a selfie, whatever. But my sister, me and her watch Hannah Brown season, and that was about all the knowledge I had of the Bachelor world. I had no clue that there was a whole Marvel universe inside of this franchise. But I've come to learn that.
Yeah. So what made you want to go on it, just for like the experience, like just to go for it?
Well, it's interesting because everyone's like, oh, right or wrong reasons. Thank you, Celeste. Celeste is awesome. She always shows me love. I appreciate you, Celeste. Love you. People think it's like right or wrong reasons, but the truth is, put yourself in these shoes. You get a call and you're like, wow, how exciting is that? Right. And kind of like I said, it doesn't feel real until you get to the first week. And I'll tell you this as for a fact, every guy I talk to, no matter how handsome, no matter how long they lasted, when they got to the mansion, they thought, well, I want to make it the full ways, but I'm afraid that I'll be a first round out or a first week out. And you know, every guy thinks, hey, look at these 35 handsome guys. There's no way I last the whole thing. Most guys think that way. So, you know, every guy is kind of has a little self-doubt where he's like, well, this could be an adventure. Mm-hmm. And one of these people might be perfect for me. Who knows? Hopefully I get to talk to them. And that's how you have to go in. You have to go in realistic. Hopefully I get to talk to one of these beautiful women. And that's mm-hmm. all you can hope for, because they may be perfect for you. They may not be. And they weren't for sure. me.
But yeah, yeah.
They're good people and very pretty.
Did you feel like having two bachelorettes was better or worse? My thing is it's probably better, because then you have two options to kind of like fall in love. And like, we saw you dated both of them until you didn't. But I feel like it's better to have two. Or did you think it would have been a different experience if you had one?
Oh, I mean, in my personal experience, it'd be very different. That was my whole, that's where I struggled. Yeah. It was a struggle to be like, okay, there's this very short amount of time. There's two people. Your whole life, if you propose, this is the rest of your life, you're committing to one of these people. And I was like, I want to get to know both of them. I would like to know that I'm making the right decision and that there's no what ifs. But like, I was surprised that no one else really had that, that mentality. I didn't think I would be the only guy whose head that went through, where they were like, I need to know for sure. So I need to talk to both of them. But it turns out, I guess I was out of that group, I was the only one who really was outward about that. But, you know, certainty is a good thing. I think making a decision that you're sure about is more important than having blind certainty. You know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, I don't know if I'd do it differently, because I was trying to do the right thing by being honest and open and kind of doing it that way.
Yeah. It was different with like these, with two bachelorettes than the first time they did the two bachelorettes. Cause they actually had the Caitlin and Britt. The guys had to pick night one who they wanted to keep.
Tough. Yeah.
If you were there night one, who would you have picked if they made you?
just based off how they look in those dresses.
No, I'm just kidding. You can't answer that.
They're both beautiful. I mean, everyone knows that. But I mean, knowing what we know now, I mean, I don't think it was going to work either way. So it's like hindsight, you know.
It's 2020. Clearer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were with Gabby for the first – we were with Rachel for the first half of the season. Then you were with Gabby for the second half of the season. Did you guys start off in the Bachelor Mansion and then you moved to the cruise ship?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we had two and a half weeks in the mansion.
Mm.
Old creaky, rusty mansion. It was great, though. We had a fun time.
And then what was it like going on the cruise ship?
Oh, it's so mysterious. It's so mysterious. You just get woken up early in the morning, and then you're in your pajamas. You got like 3 hours of sleep, and then Jesse comes in. He's like, pack your bags. We're going on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get on the plane, and you look at the little screen in front of you, and it says hours to Paris. And it's, you're like, okay, guess we're going overseas. And 2 hours ago, you were sound asleep thinking you were going to be in Malibu for the day. So it's fun. It's cool. Unfortunately, unless you get the one-on-one date, or unless it's like a really extensive group date, you don't really get to see the places you go that much. Like Paris, I saw out of the plane window and the bus window and kind of on the window of the cruise ship, just looking out. I didn't really get to like experience Paris because I didn't get picked for a one-on-one, but you know, nonetheless, I can say I've been, so that's cool.
Yeah. Did you sleep on the cruise ship? So, or did you like sleep in hotels when you would like park?
No. So we had rooms in the cruise ship, which was great because we went from the mansion, which was like, there was like six bunk beds in a room to like, we had our own individual rooms in a cruise ship with like, you know, with blinds, like blackout blinds, a comforter, and like, you weren't listening to your buddies burp and go to the bathroom every 3 minutes. So it was a lot better. We liked that part of it for sure.
Were you like rocking back and forth?
You had to get your sea legs, because as big as that cruise ship is, when you're like on the open water in the ocean, some people did get a little queasy. So you got to get your sea legs.
So you truly were just like rocking back and forth like every single day, and you just get used to it?
Yeah, you just become like a pirate or a sailor. You just just like, that's the life we're living.
Mm. Interesting. I don't know. It seems hard. It seems fun. I haven't been on a cruise in a long time, so
it was great. It was great. I mean, it's like buffets, you know, buffets, how like after you go for the fourth time, you're like, okay, I get it. I get it. Egg salad, been there, had it.
Got it.
So after a while, you're like, okay, I think I want something else. But I mean, it's still good food, you know, it's still a nice cruise. You got to be grateful. So,
yeah. So you ended up getting sent home like the week before hometowns. You got a little bit of a villain edit, but I feel like you redeemed yourself with time.
Thank you.
So you show up to the Mentel All. Did you feel like there was a lot of heat on you?
Oh, yeah. I knew it was coming from 100 miles away. I wasn't even allowed to be close to the other guys before the Mentel All. All the other guys were hanging out, and I was in a different trailer. And I was like, I want to go say what's up. And they're like, no, you should stay here. And so I knew at that point, I was like, oh, there's like an attack coming. And yeah, I went out there and luckily I didn't have, I mean, I just said what I just told you. I was like, hey, fellas, aren't we planning, if we're truly planning to get married, don't we want to like know for sure? You know, and I guess my biggest point was like, hey, if I knew I wasn't going to marry Rachel, what should I have done? If not what I did. And no one really had an answer for that. So I was able to just kind of be truthful, which isn't always easy, but I had nothing to hide there. So it went well. And I think as hard as it was to be the villain, there's parts of me that I did get shown, you know, as much as you can blame the edit and you can say, oh, it's all fake. There are parts of me that I had to look at after that first season and be like, well, I probably should be better at this, or I should probably communicate this better. I did learn from it despite the edit being tough. So, you take things away from it. Some of it you brush off as TV, some things you take away from it and it's you grow. So
yeah.
I got to. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think you were ever a villain. I know we've talked about this before.
Thank
but you were just at a you were just in a hard place where you wanted to, you know, get to know both of the ladies and you didn't get that opportunity because they made you like pick like so early on, which made sense because it was kind of, you know, hard for them and getting compared and stuff. And then it became two different shows on one show. So I don't think they'll ever do the double bachelors or double bachelorettes again, but maybe they should do it with guys, like two guys and all the girls.
I think they could totally do it if they had some structure to it. If they were like, okay, fellas, by week three, we're going to split. So do what you need to do before week three. Or like, all right, fellas. So before you get on the show, you got to write down who you'd like to get to know, whether it's one or two or both, or like something where you're not just like, there's 35 guys, there's two girls. I think I have time to get to know both of them. I think I'm allowed to kiss both of them. I don't know. Are they going to be offended? How's this going to look? Like, there's just no structure to it. But if they laid some ground rules or had some sort of like, I don't know, blueprint to it, I think it would be cool. I think it would be better, but I don't know.
Yeah. They didn't know what they were doing because it was the first time they did that. So now that they know from what you're saying, they can kind of make some rules to make it better.
Yeah.
Trial and error.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. So from your season, everyone broke up. Rachel and Tino broke up. And then Gabby and Eric broke up as well. Were you shocked about these?
You know, yeah, I was. Because those two are very, I'm very close to both of them. Especially right after the show, we talked about almost probably 2-3 times a week, both of those guys.
Yeah.
And their feelings were real. Both of them wanted it to work. I know that the girls both wanted it to work too. And it wasn't anyone's fault. I wouldn't blame Tino. I honestly know people won't like that I say that. I think Tino's a good man. I think he's made some mistakes, but I think he has a good heart. And I think he did things he's not proud of, but it's, you know, I think he's a good person. And I think, you know, Rachel deserves to be treated well too. And it's hard to see your friends go through breakups, but all you can do is pat them on the back and be like, well, I hope you can get back out there once you heal. So, it was surprising knowing all of them and knowing how they all felt about each other. I was hoping they'd make it.
Yeah, they both unraveled really quickly. I think Rachel and Tino broke up, like, they were broken up by after the final rose. And then Gabby and Eric dated, like, maybe 6 months. She was on Dancing with the Stars. And then it was like they were breaking up as she was competing on that show.
That's hard, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you just got done with this whirlwind, and then you're hundreds of miles apart. You're still just communicating over text. That's tough. That's tough. But, like, she can't turn that down. You know what I mean? Like, that's a life-changing opportunity. So, of course, she had to take it. I don't blame her at all. Mm. It's also tough for Eric to be on the other side of the country. I feel for both of them. But
things worked out differently for Gabby anyway. So,
yeah, of course. Yeah, she was headed for a different relationship and a different kind of happiness anyways, and she found it. So everything worked out the way it was supposed to. So did Eric. Eric's happy now, and you got to think that things happen for a reason. So
for sure. Let's talk about Paradise. So was this an easy decision for you to go on Bachelor in Paradise after The Bachelorette?
Well, by the so I got I got home from regular Bachelorette, and it was like 4 days after, and I was like trying to get back into real life. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, I'll try to go to the gym. I'll set an alarm clock. I'll make breakfast. Go back to doing what I usually do. Try and find some more freelance work. And I get a call, and they're like, "Hey, we want you on Paradise." And the edit obviously hadn't come out yet of how I had been shown. So at that point, they're like, "Hey, you were such a stand-up guy for being honest. You know, everyone here appreciates how honest you were and how well you did handling that. And that wasn't easy." Now, if I had seen the edit beforehand, I don't know if I would have done it. Hmm. But at that point, I hadn't seen it. And from everything I had known, I had made the right decision. And I was an honest guy who did something that wasn't easy, but didn't feel good. So at that point, I was like, you know what? It's hard enough getting back into regular life. I'm so used to waking up next to my buddies and being in this. It's almost like being in college or summer camp or something. Mm-hmm. You're like waking up next to your buddies. You're like laughing. There's no phones. You're just in a different world. You're not looking at the news because you're not allowed to. You're just like secluded. And so you go back home and you're alone for like a couple of days and you feel kind of off. So it's something about, hey, come back, join your buddies. Come to the beach. We know you love the beach. Come surf. Come hang out. You did so great last season. I was like, yeah, that sounds fun. At that point, you know, I knew that Gabby had already moved on. I knew that Rachel had already moved on. And I was like, well, you know, they're moving on. They're figuring it out. They're finding somebody. I should find somebody. So,
yeah. So then, you go to Bachelor in Paradise and you don't get to see yourself on TV. So you were saying that really would have scared you because of like the villain edit you got on that season. Don't you think?
Maybe. It wasn't even the edit or just like the whiplash of being on TV and then your life changing. Like, I don't know. It's something you can't understand until you go through it, and I hadn't gone through it yet, so I was like, yeah, double up, let's do it again. You know.
Yeah. And you didn't get a villain edit on this season, so
yeah, it worked out. You know what, I'm glad I did it. I was myself in both seasons. I can say that confidently. I made decisions that I like felt were right, and I tried to be myself, so I've got no regrets there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember on this season, you were immediately dating Shanae.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were shipping you guys because you were both villains on your season.
Right.
She just had a baby. She just announced it on Instagram. So congrats to her.
Congrats, Shanae.
Congrats, Shanae.
She probably won't see this, but I think that's great. I think she's same deal. She found someone that's like perfect for her. She's moving into the next chapter of life. I love it. I think that's great.
So how was dating her on the show? Why didn't it work out?
I think
it just didn't work out.
It just didn't. Probably wouldn't have anyways. I mean, I think the type of person I'm looking for and the type of person she's looking for, we wouldn't have found in each other, no matter how hard we tried to be those things. But there were parts of us that got along really well. There were there were elements of our personalities that meshed well, like I think. But in terms of like long-term partners, I don't know if off the beach, I don't know if it would have meshed well at all. I don't think so. So work out for the best.
Yeah, for sure. But remind me who else you dated from this season, because you weren't with Shanae the whole time.
No, I was. Kate was my main.
Oh, my God. That was my Kate. Boo. I literally forgot about Kate.
Well, that was my boo.
That was so messy.
That was my GF.
Now it's all coming back to me. Nah. Y'all were kind of messy, but you got justice. She put you down a little bit. So you guys broke up on the show though, right? She dumped you at the end.
Oh, she dumped me hard. Yeah.
Remind us, please.
Yeah. She like chokeslammed me at the end, basically. No, I'm just kidding. She didn't feel like I was like, oh, hey, thanks, Deb. She didn't feel like I was a guy who was earning enough or who was had enough drive for her.
Yeah.
I was super proud of being a guy who came up from the scratch and made it happen and got into the arts and have had a career in the arts. And it may not be enough, but it's enough. Or it may not be a lot, but it's enough. That was kind of, I was proud of that I paid for my everything I had. I was self-sufficient, and I came up from just driving to California in my car. I thought that was a cool story.
Yeah.
And I was proud of it. But when I told that to her, she took that more as, oh, what is this guy? He had to walk dogs for a while. He's a cameraman. That's not a guy who's going to take me to Belize or whatever. And so we saw that very differently. I think she didn't really say that to me. She didn't really say any of that to me. She kind of said it to her friends, which kind of played in a harsh way. But I'll say this. We connected after everything aired. And she was like, well, that was rough. And I was like, hey, you know what? I just got done being the bad guy. And it was rough on the receiving end. It was a whirlwind. People are brutal. So as much as I was kind of hurt by the thing she said, we had a phone call and we straightened it out. And I said, hey, I'm sorry that you had to go through this. And it wasn't easy on any of us, but we're good. Like let's just put it behind us. So yeah, I didn't like the thing she said. I was kind of pissed for a minute, but we're both over it now. So.
No, I remember there was like a couple Instagram stories, and I think you guys were you guys were definitely joking, but she was like in Mexico, like with her girlfriends or something.
Right.
Like when that comment was like aired or whatever. And she just made like some type of Instagram story, and then you clap back, and it was funny.
Yeah. Well, I was like joking. I was like, oh, I'm a premium Costco member. And she like posted something that was like, oh, you don't get these views with a Costco membership. And so I like went to Costco.com and looked up travel packages. And I like screenshotted a travel package to from Costco to Mexico. And I was like, I'm on my way, baby. Like, be there soon. That was before we had our call. That was like the last kind of dig, I guess. But we got over it.
Yeah. I know she used to work at the Oppenheim Group she used to do real estate. So she was always around these big homes, selling homes. I don't know what she does now, but I've ran into her a couple times in LA, and I actually really like her a lot more in person than on the show. I hated her, but like in person, she's a lot cooler.
She is very clever, very quick. Great sense of humor.
So, for sure. She's sarcastic.
Oh yeah.
Which I love, 'cause I'm so sarcastic too. Celeste says, Logan, I was surprised that you didn't try with Teddy or even Eliza. Did you?
No, I kind of did. Teddy, I thought was very cute. We had chatted a little bit, and literally on the like the first 2 days, we had chit chatted a little bit, and I thought she was super cute. And then she got involved in some drama with Andrew, and it was I started dating Shanae. It was one of those things where the timing just didn't happen. She went on a one-on-one with Andrew. I went on one-on-one with Shanae. And then we both had our own spider webs to figure out with the mess that we were on. And by the time, you know, 2-3 days later, Teddy kind of up and left. Teddy had had enough of the spider webs, enough of the sorting out the mess.
Yeah.
And she kind of just said, hey, this is too much of a mess. It's too stressful. I've had it. I'm out of here. Which, that's kind of a power move. I respected it. But we just never had an alignment there. And I know she's very happy now.
She got married.
Somebody. Yeah. I think she's doing great.
Yeah.
So I think that was probably the best move for her. You know?
For sure. It was crazy when she left. Everybody was so shocked, but she had enough. So, everyone from your season broke up too. Brandon and Serene ended up breaking up. Michael and Danielle, Genevieve and Aaron. And I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Who got engaged?
I'll tell you who got engaged in real life. My boy, Romeo.
Oh yeah.
Romeo. Congrats, buddy.
Yeah.
Romeo found a good girl in New York City, and I think he just proposed recently. So if he hears this, congrats, pal.
Congrats, Romeo. Yeah. We have a question from Emmy. She says, Logan, what are you up to now? You were my favorite on Rachel and Gabby's season besides Zach.
Thanks, Emmy. Zach's very handsome. I understand. I'll take second place. That's okay. Now I have a great job. I just started. I'm still in photo and video industry. I'm working at a country club here in San Diego, in their media department and communications department. It's awesome. I'm loving it. So I'm doing that. I started releasing some music, which was a surprise to a lot of people when I got off the show, and it went pretty well. I got to play some shows that people came out to watch. I got like over 500,000 streams on my first little tape. And I'm still doing some music. It's been so fun. So I actually have a show this week. I go to small, medium-sized venues, and people seem to show up, which I really appreciate. So I get to be artistic. I'm doing photo, video, music. I'm doing all the same stuff I was doing before, just at a higher level, and I'm so excited about it. Thanks for asking.
I loved your song, Don't Text Me on My Birthday.
Oh, you never called me on my birthday.
Yes. He was like, you never call me on my birthday. I love that song. Where can everyone find your Spotify and follow it?
Yeah, I'm just Logan Siegel on Spotify. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's I write sad. I write like sad, like sad boy stuff, but it's fun.
No, I love that music. Celeste says, Logan, are you still roommates with Aaron? Can't you?
So I was never roommates with Aaron. We just hang out a lot. I love Aaron. I see him probably once or twice a week. We play pickleball now. Mm. Aaron picked up pickleball, and he's a beast. He's like doing like tournaments now. Machine Heart. Thank you, Celeste. That's one of my songs.
Is Bachelor Nation still full of, San Diego still Bachelor Nation like crazy heavy? Is that kind of?
More than ever. I think like a bunch of Zach's girls, season's girls just moved here. Brandon and Serene moved here, obviously. There's like more here than ever. I know like Braden, I got to meet at a comedy club here. He's a San Diego guy. They're everywhere. Okay. If you go to a gas station to fill up, you're going to run into one of them. So,
sure.
Yeah.
I love that.
Aaron's still one of my good buddies. We hang out all the time. We were thinking of,
doing a song together.
No. we're thinking of hopping on a podcast together just because we have so much fun talking and being goofy together. But, we hang out a lot still.
That's awesome. Love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me and kind of breaking down the Golden Bachelor news. very shocking split. Also loved hearing about your music and your time on the show and just catching up and chatting. So appreciate it. Where can everybody find you and follow you?
Yeah. Logan Siegel on everything, TikTok, Instagram, Spotify. Come say hello. Thanks for all the love. And Zach, it's always good. Thanks for always, you know, supporting and for letting me be on the pod.
Of course. Enjoy the rest of your night, and I will talk to you all later. Thank everybody so much for listening, watching, and be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And I will see you guys in the next one. Bye.